Last time we discussed the time periods after the Shovei HaGola, the ones that came back from Bavel during the time of Malchei Modei Uparas. They came back to Eretz Yisrael and they actually built the new Yishuv with the building of the second temple, the Binyan Bayis Sheni. So we explained at that time how after 70 years, Koresh gave them permission to build, then he revoked the permission. Darius the First, actually let them continue to build the Beis HaMikdash. It was 18 years later, but that was exactly 70 years after the Churban HaBayis. It took a few years till they built it, and then somewhat after that, quite after that, the sixth year, I believe, first Ezra came up to the old Yishuv in order to rebuild it, into the new Yishuv, to rebuild the Torah infrastructure of the Yishuv HaChadosh, the new Yishuv. And afterwards we find that Nehemiah, who was after all the cupbearer to Artaxerxes, to Artaxashta, he came also to help out Ezra, and not only to help him out, but also to focus on the economic distress. We explained how the country was in ruins and there was no really economy, and he built up the walls, and they focused on not only on the Torah aspect, and they should separate from the foreign wives, and consecrating the entire land of Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha Shnia, they were Oile Bavel, they were Kod Mekadesh, they sanctified the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, all the halachas of Shemitis and Yovelis, but also how Nehemiah really took charge of rebuilding the city of Yerushalayim, rebuilding the walls, putting the primacy of Yerushalayim even amongst all the Jewish people living throughout the diaspora. Because after all, we know that most of the people stayed behind in Bavel. The Choshevet, the VIPs, the elite amongst the Jewish people stayed behind. So Nehemiah and Ezra together, they made Yerushalayim the focal point of the Jewish nation, with everything would revolve around Yerushalayim. The Sanhedrin was Yerushalayim. Anytime they had a question, it had to be sent to Yerushalayim. As a matter of fact, during that time period, there was a garrison of Jewish soldiers stationed for the Persian Empire. They were mercenaries in Elephantine. Elephantine is where today the Aswan Dam is, which is in Egypt. And we were actually stationed over there, about 150 families. And we see that they had questions on, you know, basic questions on Yiddishkeit. And they sent it to the central court, to the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim. They sent it to the governor at that time in Yerushalayim. But all questions of Yiddishkeit were focused towards Yerushalayim. That was the purpose of making Yerushalayim a central part of the entire Jewish nation, and that's how you'd encourage people, of course, to move to Yerushalayim. They built Yerushalayim as a city, they built the walls around it. The purpose was to rebuild the old Yishuv. You have to remember that at that time, most of the Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael was really around Yerushalayim, a 25-mile radius around the city of Yerushalayim. But the rest, the north, we had the Shomranim, the Samaritans, and Sanballat was over there, the one in charge, and then on the west, you had the Phoenicians along the coast, and the on the bottom, in the south of Yerushalayim, was the Edomians, not to be confused with the Edomites. Edom is Esav. These were the Edomians, Idumeans, which was a tribe living in the south. So really, they were surrounded by all non-Jewish people, and the only way really to build up your country, and even to defend your country, and to have it going, is by having people move in, and therefore they have to start by making a city, Yerushalayim, the focal point of the Jewish people, and hopefully people would come and make aliyah and come towards the new yishuv in Judea. Now, this brings us into the time period of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Now, who were the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah? The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the Rambam says, were really Ezra u'Beis Dinai. Ezra, after all, was the Gadol Ador, so his entire Beis Din. Now, usually the Sanhedrin was made up of 71 people. At that time, they expanded the Sanhedrin to be made up of 120 people. That's what they called the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the large gathering of people, HaGdolah, because not 71, a Sanhedrin of 120 people. By the way, the modern-day Knesset, of course, takes its name from the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. That's why the modern-day Knesset is 120 people as well. it's supposed to mimic somewhat, because the Anshei Knesset Gedolim, not only they were the judicial branch of Yiddishkeit at that time, they were the legislative, the executive, they were everything, because everything was focused around them. After all, yes, you had the Kahanim Gedolim, but if you had a gathering of 120 really Gedolim, and they had Nevi'im who amongst them, Ezra, of course, was the Gadol Ador, but they had Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Mordechai, and the Rambam lists, Zerubbabel, all the who's who, basically all the Gedolim from that generation, amongst them Nevi'im, so they were really in charge of everything, and they legislated and they executed all different types of takanas, things which we have ad hayom hazeh until today, and therefore it was a very, very important body. We know that the Mishiorech Anshei Knesset Gedolim, the youngest from that group of 120 people, and it seems to be all at the same time, or more or less at the same time, the youngest from them was Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik, the Mishnah says, was Mishiorech Anshei Knesset Gedolim. Now we know Shimon HaTzadik met Alexander the Great. He was also a Kohen Gadol after the beginning of the Greek era. Now we know the Greek era, we know Alexander the Great died in the year 323 before Common Era, in that time period. So Shimon HaTzadik was Mishiorech Anshei Knesset Gedolim, so the time of the Anshei Knesset Gedolim was somewhat before the year 323, 340, 350, somewhat at that time, which would make sense. Why would it make sense? Because if we figure out exactly when the Bayis Sheni was built, we know that we come to that time period. Now, there's one question which I did not discuss it up until this point, but that's something with the dates. We have to really clarify and understand, you know, we have our Masorah, and we know the dates of when things took place, when the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we know with the Jewish dates, we have exact year-to-year description, basically from the year zero, from the year of creation, all the way till today. But how that corresponds with today's secular date, so we'll really have to work backwards. So let's try and see it the way it seems to be, the simple way of understanding it, and we see it's not that simple. Yes?
I'm wondering, this new Knesset, did they also incorporate, you mentioned Mordechai, did they incorporate Jews from Bava?
Well, they came with them. Whoever was from the Anshei Knesset Gedolim had to be in Eretz Yisrael.
Now this is becoming the center of asking various Shilas, you know, the Gedolim are essentially pocketing out of Jewish alliance to this vehicle of the Knesset, Anshei Knesset Gedolim. What about the Yeshivot back in Babel, from the Deep in our right? Is there a conflict?
No, there's no conflict. The purpose was to make Yerushalayim, to make Eretz Yisrael the center of religious Jewish life.
It was only
70 years. You should have come up with Ezra right after 70 years. They did not, and they developed all the great Torah learnings. But because the Anshei Knesset Gedolim and because the Sanhedrin was focused in Eretz Yisrael, so the primary center of learning became Eretz Yisrael, became Yerushalayim, all the way until after the time of the Tanoim. After the time of Tanoim, when basically Israel was destroyed and all the Jews were taken into exile and by the Romans, so that's when it continued, or it went back to Babylonia. But from the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, everything was focused in Eretz Yisrael. All the Zugois, all the Talmidim, we're gonna see that.
They didn't have yeshivas to the extent of
the Babylon. They had yeshivas, absolutely open yeshivas. They had all the yeshivas. We know that Hillel came up from Babel, and they had in Babel as well, they had yeshivas. But the focal point of learning was in Eretz Yisrael, because that's the way they made it. They made it in such a way that everything should be mitzia in teitzei Torah. And therefore, the Anshei Knesset Gedolim, everybody who was there, had to be in Eretz Yisrael. Now, let's try and get the date a little bit straight. Now, I want everybody to focus just on the left side of the sheet. The left side, don't look at the right side, just at the left side, and we're going to go through it step by step. Well, we know that the Exodus of Mitzrayim was in the year 2448. The Yetzias Mitzrayim was 2448 after creation, that we know. We know that the first temple, the Bayis Rishon, was built 480 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael. We know the first temple was built in the year 2928. We know that the first temple stood for 410 years. And therefore, in the year 3338, the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the temple was destroyed. We know that after 52 years, after Belshazzar was killed in the middle of the night, in the year 3390, Koresh assumes power from the Persians, and he grants permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. We know the Purim story took place in between the permission that was given by Koresh, and after he revoked the permission, we know 18 years later, which is, by the way, exactly 70 years after the destruction of the first temple, Darius, which is Darius I, permits the rebuilding of the temple. So the year 3408, then that's when it really starts the Second Commonwealth. The year or two differential is because it's not clear when you start counting year one, if Adam Rishon was year one, Adam Rishon after Adam Rishon was year two, so there might always be a 1 or 2 year differential. But in the year 3410 began the Bayis Sheni, Second Commonwealth, which is the Bayis Sheni. We know the Bayis Sheni stood for 420 years, which is destruction of the Second Temple, is the year 3830. And now we're holding 5769. From a Jewish perspective, the Jewish dates, everything is clear, everything makes sense. Now let's see how that corresponds with the secular dates. So in order to correspond it with the secular dates, you have to really work backwards. Well, what we know for a fact is that the Bayis Sheni was destroyed in the year 6970 Common Era. We know that from the historical background, we know from the Romans, that's clear, right? Ellie, everybody understands that. What's her name again? Ari, sorry, I knew it was a three-letter syllable. Everybody knows that the Second Temple, the Bayis Sheni, was destroyed in the year 3830. Now, which is 69, now turn to the left side of the sheet, which is the year 70 Common Era. You work back 420 years, which is the duration of the Second Temple, so we know that a Second Temple was built in the year 350. Right? Makes sense. So we holding by 3410 has to correspond to the year 350, because that's 420 years before the year 70. Makes sense. We know if you go back 70 years, that's when Churban Bayis Rishon took place. So you go back 350, 70 years, you're holding by the year 422 before Common Era, which is the destruction of the First Temple, which is the year 3338. So if we work backwards and based on what we know, we know that the Bayis Rishon was destroyed in the year 422. The Bayis Sheni was built in the year 351 before Common Era, with the result that Amshek and Knesset HaGdolah was somewhat after the year 351. That's clear to everyone. The problem with this is a fewfold. Oh, but before we get to the problems, if you look at number one on the sheet which we handed out, in the sheet number 18, so the Gemara says quite clearly, number one on the sheet, Malchus Poras Bifnei HaBayis Shloshim V'Arba Shonim, which means that the Persians ruled before the Bayis Sheni was completed 34 years. Well, that makes sense, because if you start from the year 3390 until the year Malchus Poras Bifnei HaBayis, meaning 34 years they ruled in front of the Bayis. In other words, when the Bayis Sheni was up, they ruled 34 years. Well, that makes sense. From the year 3410 until the year 3444, that's when the Seleucid king took control of Eretz Yisrael, and the Seleucid, the Greek era began, those are 34 years. So the 34 years is from 3410 to 3444, Malchus Paras. Malchus Yovan Bifnei HaBayis Me'ev Shmoyim Shana, then comes 180 years of the Greeks, Chashmonoi is 103 years, Hordis is 103 years, which is a total of 420 years, that's how we get to 420 years, and that's what Rashi says. So the Seder Olam, which was written by Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, which is Rabbi Yossi, which we have in the Mishnah, he says, Hu Kareh Shuda Yovan Shua Tachshashto, Lepishikola Malchus Nikos HaTachshashto, Kol Shnei Malchei Modai Paras, Chamishim Shtayim Shana. The total amount of the rules of the Persian kings were 52 years, which is 34 years in front of Bayis Sheni, and another 18 years before, which makes sense. You go from the year 3390 till the year 3408 or 3409, which is again those 18 years of the Persian kings before the Beis HaMikdash was built, and then another 34 years after it was built until the Greeks took over, with the result that all the Persian kings ruled for a total of 52 years. 18 years before the Bayis was built, and 34 years after the Bayis was built. The problem with that is twofold. Firstly, we know, turn to the right side of the sheet, We know historically that there were about 10 kings that ruled Persia in between that time period. In other words, after, we know Koresh was the first one, Cyrus was the first one. We know that Cambyses, which is Ahasuerus, was the second one. We know that Darius was the third one. That we know. Then, it doesn't end with Darius or Artaxerxes the third. There are about 9 other kings in between. And there are battles taking place, battles between the Greeks and the Persians, and that's a span of 200 years. We have even Seder Hadarus, which is written much later, lists 10 Persian kings in a span of, doesn't say 200 years, that's 34 years, but it lists 10 Persian kings. Well, according to our Gemara says that there were only 4 kings ruling Persia for 34 years, and like the Seder Olam says, Koresh, Dayavesh, Atachshashno, it's all the same person, so all these 10 kings were really one and the same, and there were only 3 or 4 kings. Well, historically we know that there seemed to be about 10 kings ruling Persia over a span of 200 years. So, that doesn't quite fit in. Where are you going to throw, Ken, where are you going to put those 10 kings between the year 3408 and 3444? You can't fit 10 kings into that time period. So how does it doesn't quite fit. In other words, the amount of Persian kings in that short time period. That's one big question. A second bigger question even, it's even a bigger question, is that generally it's known that Bias Rishon was destroyed in the year 587. 587 before Common Era. And the reason is simple. We know when Nebuchadnezzar lives. We know all the Greek historians all say Nebuchadnezzar lived in the year 587. He definitely did not live a mere 100 years before Alexander the Great. I mean, according to the way we're saying, in the year 422, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That means Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash 422, and a mere 100 years later, or 60 years later, the Greeks are already on the scene. Doesn't make sense. We know that the Babylonians and the Persians and the Greeks, they were hundreds of years apart. So how do you correspond 587, when we know Nebuchadnezzar seemed to have known that Nebuchadnezzar lived, with today's day and age, or with the fact that, according to the way we have it, in a 100-year span, we had Nebuchadnezzar, we had the Persians, and we had the Greeks, and Alexander the Great. All this took place in a 100-year span. The time frame doesn't seem to quite make sense. It doesn't seem to correspond. That's the second big question. Now, Ken, what's your answer? Right. So the truth is, I mean, the easiest answer, and it's probably the correct answer, and that's on record, that's what we're going to go with, is that we have our history as it unfolds. Our history, we know from the timeline. We know as it unfolded. The secular historians... I'm saying our history is not in question. How it corresponds with the secular history, secular historians work backwards. There was nobody in the time of Nebuchadnezzar writing down the history. It's only the Greek historians hundreds of years later, wrote and said, this is what took place 100 years ago. So their history is, what's that called, retroactive, and others looking back, and our history is as it takes place, and therefore, we know our Messiah, we have our history. Okay, that's one way of looking at it. The problem is that even archaeologically, it seems to be there were civilizations, and it wasn't all at the same time. Even archaeological evidence seems to point to a different direction. So Rabbi Schwab, Zichroni Levachim, Rabbi Shimon Schwab, wrote an authoritative article in 1962 with a new type of theory. Now, I must admit that Rabbi Schwab himself retracted from his theory in the 1980s, 1981, 1982, he retracted from his theory, and he said that he was wrong, and he's going back on it, and, you know, for whatever, we're going to soon see the reason why he retracted. But the theory is out there, and he was Mechadesh that theory for 20 years, and it's something that it's worthwhile looking into it, and you'll make your declaration. I listened to Rabbi Beryl Wein, and he said, I'm not discussing the timeline, Rabbi Schwab has a whole article about it, and you'll make your own decision, and I'm telling you the same thing. I'm telling you, I'm giving you the facts, and you make your own decision how you want to take it. But it's interesting to hear another point of view. His point of view, at least originally his point of view, was the following. He says that everything stays the same. You're right. Destruction of the first temple, now look at the right side. took place in the year 587, 3338. 587, as the secular historians have it to be. Again, our history is correct, so our Jewish dates is correct. 3338 was 410 years after the Bais Rishon was put up, so we know that was the time of the Churban Bais Rishon. That's 587. Courage grants permission 52 years later in the year 535. The Purim story happens 15 years later in the year 520. The Ayoves permits the rebuilding of the temple in the year 517. Now, according to that, the problem is that if the second temple was permitted to be rebuilt in the year 517 and it was destroyed in the year 70, that means that the second temple stood for more than 420 years. It stood for 580 something years. Now, we know Chazal say not like that. So how does that fit? How does that make sense? So he wants to say that perhaps there were, he says the Beit HaMikdash was not completely built anyway till the year 351. Yes, he started rebuilding the building of the temple and the Beit HaMikdash was built, but the last tikkunim, the last finishing touches was not done until Ezra and Nehemiah all the way to the end, or even Shimon HaTzadik in the year 351. But, he says, there were another 165 or 167 years in between the year 517 and 351. And during that time period, a lot of things took place. Darius, Xerxes, Artaxerxes, Xerxes the second, Darius the second, Artaxerxes, Artaxerxes the second, all that stuff took place. But after 167 years, so Chachamim said, okay, these 167 years, we will discount as if they never happened. We're going to take those years and hide them away. We're going to call them 167 hidden years. They happened, but for all intents and purposes, we're going back to the year 3410. In other words, as if only 1 year passed by instead of 167 years. 167 years passed, but they said, we're taking those years and we're hiding it. Nothing really happened in those years. We're hiding those years and we continue with the year 3410. So we should continue with the year 3410. I put on the side, but according to that, we're really holding 3537, 3605, with the result that today we're not 5769, we're really 5936. But, of course, Chazal did not do that. They continued with 3410, 3438. But the English date will correspond that it really took place 165 years earlier, and they took the 165 years, and they hid those 165 years. Says Rabbi Schwab. Beryl looks at me like I literally fell out of the sky. Says Rabbi Schwab, why would they do such a thing? Unless they had a directive from a Navi or from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, basically, why would they hide 165 years? What's the purpose? Says Rabbi Schwab, because, if at least before he retracted, we'll soon see why he retracted, because if you look in the Sefer Daniel, now Sefer Daniel took place at that time period, right? Right after the Purim story, you know, Hasoch, it was Daniel. So the end of Sefer Daniel is all about the Geula HaAsida. It's all about the time of Mashiach. And look in the last few chapters of Sefer Daniel, number 3. Uve'esahi yamod michol asar gadol ha'imed al b'nei amcha vo'esah etzor asher l'yosef miyoz goyad esahi. At that time, Michal will come and will be a terrible calamity. V'rabim mishena ad basofa yokitsu eile l'cha'olam ve'eile l'chifas v'didr olam. And the dead will arise. V'yayim l'cha Daniel, and Daniel will tell you, kistumim v'chasum ha'advarim ad es cakes. These are very hidden times and we don't really know until the end of days. They all seem to be hidden. Yisbaru v'yislabnu, and people will try and figure out v'yitzalfu rabim, and many will try and figure out all types of ways. V'yishiu v'shoyim, and the shoyim will wicked will come and say it's the end of days, and the time of Mashiach will come. V'lo yavinu kol shoyim v'amaskilim yavinu, and most people will not know. But asrei amachakev yagia liyomim, and people will wait, and they'll say elef shleish moish shleish v'chamisha, 1,335 years, and that's. People, in other words, he's giving us remozim, he's giving us hints to the time of Mashiach. Now, he was given a directive, and that's in Pasuk Dalet, Va'ato Daniel, he was given Beruach HaKodesh, you Daniel, Sesoim HaDvorim, hide the things, V'chasoim HaSefer, and seal the book, Ad Eis Kates, Yishtoytidu Rabim V'detev Adas, until the end of times. In other words, Daniel had a directive to hide these secrets, about the end of days, when the end of days will come, because lest people will try and figure out when the time of Mashiach will be, when the end of the world will take place, when the great wars will take place, Daniel is given a directive to hide these things. Not only that, but the Gemara discusses it also a little bit. The Gemara gives a little hints. Number 5. Amale Elio le Rav Yehuda, Achva de Rav, Salah Hasidus, Elio Novi met Rav Yehuda, and he told him, Ein Oilem Pachas Meshamayim B'chamishu Yavalos. You should know, the world is not going to be less than 85 Yovelas, 50 year cycles. Uva Yovel Achim ben David Bo. And the last Yovel, Mashiach is going to come. Amalei, B'tchilosoi, B'soifoi, the beginning of the 50 year, the end of the 50 year. Amalei told him, Ein Yedea, Kala, Ein Akala, Ein Yedea. In other words, all these different types of cheshbonos when Mashiach would come. And then look at number 5, the second paragraph. Shalach le Rav Chana batachlif le Rav Yosef. And Rav Chana batachlif le Sent Rav Yosef. Matzos ye'ehud olam echot. I found an old man. Uvi yodem megila achas ksuv ha'ashiris v'loshen kodesh. And had a scroll which was written in Ashuris and in Hebrew. Amati lo zu minaylecho. Where did you get this from? Amali lechayoy lo shal roi min iskati. I became a Roman legionnaire. And I found this amongst the old, archives of Rome. Because of one, in that book it said, after 4,291 years of creation, the world will fall apart. There'll be wars, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't rebuild the world till after 7,000 years, and he said until 5,000 years. The Gemara is giving all types of hints. I don't know what these Gemaras mean. But the end of days. Tanya, number 5a. Reb Nosson Oimer, Mikro Zed Noike V'Yered Atoim. This pasuk is the most important. Ki Oit Chazoin Lamoyed. Because there is time. V'yipach Leketz V'lo Yechazev. And he will not let you down. Im Yismamea. And if he comes, if he tarries, Chakeloi. Wait for him. Ki Bo Yovo Lo Yacher. Because Mashiach will come, he will not delay. Like in Rashi, not like our rabbis that try to understand. Look in Rashi, Al Tachabaseinu, Al Tetzapu La'Oisa Kates Shoyer Rabaseinu Doshim. In other words, we are forbidden to try and figure out when the time of Mashiach will be based on all these Pesukim and Daniel. People have tried. We're forbidden. It's not our place. So it was a directive from Daniel to close up the end of day, to close up this information that would perhaps give a person understanding when Mashiach will come. Because if a person knows Mashiach is coming now, Mashiach will come for another 500 years, he said, you know, it's a good part of our munah is lost. It's b'choliyeh mechakeloi. We have to wait for him constantly. We have to consider every day as if Mashiach might be coming today or tomorrow. So therefore, Daniel had this directive in order to sesoim hadvorim v'chasoim sefer, to seal it, to hide it. Says Rabbi Schwab, in his original theory, that in order Chazal had this directive, Chachome, meaning Ezra and Nehemia, had the directive from Daniel through Nevuah to hide the end of days. He said, what better way to hide the end of days than if we take out a whole bunch of years, a collective, we'll all agree together that 165 years, we'll just wipe it off the map. We'll consider it as if it didn't exist. Yes, 165 years existed. But then after 165 years, we'll consider those the hidden years, and we'll continue back. And I guess nobody can really figure out what's going on, because all the cheshbonos will not make sense anyway, because you're missing 165 years. Says Rabbi Schwab, if you look at the gematria of Tzoyd Daniel, is 165. He said, based on this, he says, okay, that's something else. Based on this, he says, listen to this. He says, we can understand. Look in number 4. Number 4, the Gemara says, Amarami Barav Yudah Marav. There was a book called Sefer Yuchsin, a book with all the chronological events, and that was hidden. That after that was hidden, for some reason, Gemara doesn't say why it was hidden, but the power of the Chachamim, you know, they couldn't judge, they couldn't calculate accordingly, they lost some of their zest. Why? Because they had all the chronological data, information was lost. What is the Sefer Yuchsin? Says Rashi, Masnisa de Divrei Yomim. It explains all the chronological dates of Divrei Yomim. Who wrote Divrei Yomim? We know Ezra wrote Divrei Yomim, at least until Perek Lamed Vav. And therefore, at that time period, he wrote it, and he probably had all this chronological information. They decided to hide it. They were Goynes Sefer Yuchsin, because that was part of the directive to be Sasaim Esakates. Continues Rabbi Shabbat, said like this. Now we understand, based on the theory, he says, we understand that, very interesting, but Ken, from the time the Greek era starts, in the year 3444, when the Greeks took over the country, the Seleucid kingdom, after the death of Alexander the Great, and it was split into four different generals. And by the way, there's a nevuah about that in Daniel as well, that the goat will come from the west and it will overrun everything, and then it will split into four different parts. And that's the nevuah, by the way, on the Malchus Yavon, and how they will take over. And this was, of course, written beforehand as a nevuah, but after the Greeks came, we suddenly find something else, that rather than counting from Brias HaOlam, counting years from creation, they started a new thing. We're counting Leminyan Shtaris. We're counting from the Greek kingdoms, from the Seleucid era, and they started counting. Today's year, in all the Gittim, today's year one from the Leminyan Shtaris, today's year two Leminyan Shtaris. This counting went all the way till the time of the Rambam. The Teimanim, they found Gittim from the Teimanim, which was still written Leminyan Shtaris. In other words, for some reason, up until that point, they always counted Lebriyas Olam. After the Greeks started taking over, after Ezra and Nehemiah and Anshek Nesagdala, we said, okay, we're no more counting Lebriyas Olam, we're counting Leminyan Shtaris. Says Rabbi Shlomo, why would they do that? I'll tell you why. Because they wanted to really forget about those 165 years. If you start counting Bias Olam, people say, wait a second, there are many more years. We're starting a new counting. Year one, year two, year three. This went all the way through the Middle Ages. Look in the Rambam, or look in number 6a in the sheet. Begin Tiknushi in Moinim Begitim, the Malchus, Oysel Mamish Shoshola Malchus, the Kvan Nogu, in other words, the Aloch is supposed to count and guess how many years, not to the creation of the world, but rather so and so many years to the kingdom of this and this king that you're living in. It says the Rambam, Ukvan Nogu Kol Yisrael, and the Minik amongst Klal Yisrael was Limnois Begitim, count again, which year are we in, Oyle Yitzira, either to creation, meaning the Seder Brias Olam, which is what we do today, Oyle Malchus Alexandrus Moigdon Shu Minyan Shtaris, or the Minik was, the Rambam says, to count Leminyan Shtaris. So in the Middle Ages when the Rambam lived, today is 1423 years Leminyan Shtaris. What about Brias Olam? So obviously, there was such a thing. It was in place for thousands of years, or for 1,500 years, this concept of Leminyan Shtaris was in place. Says Rav Shlomo, why did they do that? Because they wanted to hide those 165 years. And therefore, he says, now it makes a lot of sense. So you're right, the year 34-8, they had another 165 years. Now we can predate, or we can make the destruction of the first temple in the year 587. We can make everything take place according to the secular dates, but we catch up to the regular dates, because there was another 165 years, 167 years in between. They got rid of those years, and therefore, they continued back with the year 3410, meaning as if no years changed, and another just continued from the next year, but in effect, we're really 167 years later in our world. We're really in the year 5936, which doesn't make a difference, because we don't count with those years anyway, but at least it would fit. The secular and the Jewish dates would fit. Ken, have you heard this Svara before? It's weak, you don't like it. Okay, well, Rabbi, what?
Wouldn't somebody have asked why we now count the Leminyan Shtaris and not...
Well, Dave, this was a big conspiracy, not a conspiracy. Chazal Chachamim did this because this was Atok Daniel Chesayimus Advarim. The purpose was to hide these things. And that was...
People say, okay, all of a sudden, year one,
the Leminyan... Well, now we start with the new king, Leminyan Shtaris and all that.
They made up something.
Yeah, they made Leminyan Shtaris. That's what was that? They're supposed to hide it. So of course they didn't document this. So he says, why did it come out now? If it's supposed to remain hidden, why did it come now? So he says, this is 1962. He said, after all these archaeological finds, so it had to come out. We find now all these archaeological digs, and we see the civilizations, and they were to have Antiochus, Alexander the Great, what, 30 years after Nebuchadnezzar, doesn't fit. And other, these things just don't fit anymore. So you can say, yes, maybe it was in a different area and it was like this, and this is only retro. At the end, I think Rabbi Schwab was Chayzer, mainly was Chayzer, because number one, if that's the case, then all our Shemitahs and Yovelus, everything is messed up. All the Moilet, the calendar, everything, the 28-year cycle of the Birch Tachama, everything is over. We're really 167 years further. He says it doesn't quite make sense that we should just ignore all that, and therefore, at the end, he was Chayzer in 1980, in the 80s, he retracted from the thing. The theory is still out there. You make your decision. You be the judge. I figured I had to share it with everybody. Yes, Beryl?
I mean, historically, on a smaller scale, it was done in the Mahabal, the Second World, and they changed the Gregorian.
Right. in the 1500s, they jumped 11 days. Right? Right, but we know that. But here it was on purpose. Listen, at the end of the day, who is the one that was only relevant to the Jewish people? It wasn't relevant to anybody else. Because everybody else just went with their secular dates. So the Jewish people, Chazal could have said, no, everybody close up, nobody talk about it. And that's it, we're counting minyan stars. And that's why they did it in such a way.
Why, what was special about 167?
No, those are just, why did they make those years?
Why did they decide?
No, because, so the truth is, I'll be honest with you. It seems to be difference of opinion. According to Rabbi Schwab, and I read his whole article, if you want to have his article over here, you can read it. He seems to say that Ezra and Nehemiah did come afterwards. So in other words, those 167 years, there was really nothing much going on in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, Ezra really didn't come, and Nehemiah only at the end they came. He said Nehemiah came first, and then Ezra came. After they put the finishing touches on the Beis Hamikdash, okay, now we're ready, you know, now we're ready to start again, and we'll what's the name? After they finished, they closed up. Why 165 years exactly? I don't know. But at least, nothing really much happened those times. Others want to say that in those 167 years, that's an Ezra, the Nafkamina perhaps would be Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. I mean, you could say, conceivably, but if you say Mordechai was part of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, like Rambam says, and Ezra and Nehemiah, and they're 167 years apart at least, you know, it's possible, but it's more difficult to understand. Or maybe they were either were not all in the same time period. Maybe they were spread out, or one overlapped to the other. Yeah, I even saw somewhere they had two types of, they had the first type, and the second type, maybe the two periods. I don't know. Again, that's not commonly, the common way, the way most people look at it, it was one group, a body of 120 people, and that extended into the Greek era. Yes, Ken.
Aren't there always two kinds of family anyway? You see Malachi, like, they always count the family as a king, the third year of his reign.
That's correct. That's correct. So, but that doesn't give you the right to, you know, just to make 167 years disappear. They didn't lose track. It was purposely done. You don't like it. Okay, good. I'm not saying you have to like it. I figured we can't have a Jewish history class without at least knowing that this theory is out there. And if you want a more understanding, he goes much more into detail. I have his whole article. You're free to look at it. You're free to take it. And that's basically what the concept is all about. Yes.
Why did we stop doing the Nishtaras and going back to the current system?
It went back only in the Middle Ages, I believe.
Right, so why? What was
the... Don't know. We'll get to it.
I think I also heard, is this why, like, when we, the Lashon HaMetzuba is to say the Minyan Sha'an and Modim.
Right. Because there are different types of countings. There's Minyan Storis, there's Minyan Oysa Malchus. Right. But we count Lebrias Oylam. In Ksuva or Neget, it's Lebrias Oylam from creation of the world. But there are different countings as well. Okay, let's just give a little introduction. We have a few minutes on the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So, it seems to be, again, I'd like to go with the traditional way. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was this one group of body of 120 people, ranging all the way, looking at Rambam number 7, Beis Dinoi Shel Ezra. Even, by the way, even according to Rabbi Schwab, it seemed to be like that, because he puts Ezra Nehemiah at the end of everything. It means at the end of this 167-year period, which is in the year 350. No, either way you slice it, 350 was the Second Temple. We know it stood 420 years, 350 before Common Era, a mere 30 years before Alexander the Great, you know, even dies. So it was already in that time period. But look at number 7. Beis Dinoi Shel Ezra, Heim HaNikoyim Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Veheim, who are they? Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Vazayah. These are all people, by the way, in Bavel. Hananiah, Mishael, Vazayah were in Bavel. So if you do put them, if you do say that there were 167 years missing, then there were, must have been all people at that time. Unechemiah ben Chachaloyoi, Umarechai Balshen, Uzru Bavel, Vahabech Hachami Moim, Tashlom Meo, Ve'esrim Zkeinim. Achon Nehem, Hushim Natsadik, Vuhoye Mechlal, Hamea Ve'esrim. In other words, a group of people. Now, the first thing they did, and maybe even the most important thing they did is many things, but the first thing they did was that they canonized the books of Tanakh. That was extremely important. The reason why that was important is because at that time, since it was after they came up from Babel, and they came back to Israel, the era of Nevuah had ended. There was no more Nevuah. And therefore, books which were written up until that time were written by Nevuah, at least by the Nevi'im. But any book which would be written from this time onward was already not B'ruach HaKodesh, not even by Nevuah. And therefore, when they had to decide which books are part of the Sifrei HaTanach, so the Anshei Knesset will have to decide, what are we deciding, what are we basing it on? What's a good book? What's not a good book? So one of the things was something, of course, look at number 9 on the sheet, Kiditanya, how be Nevi'im Amdulem Yisrael, Kiflayim Kiyotze Mitzrayim, there were many, many Nevi'im, in other words, only Nevuah prophecy which was helpful and which be which would be applicable for generations, that was written down and that was canonized and that was written down as one of the books that may be written and be part of the Tanakh. The others which are not applicable were not included. So firstly, from all the Nevi'im that they had, there were many Nevi'im, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah took only the books that were applicable for generations. And this wasn't a one day or one week or one year affair. It probably took many years till they decided which books were to be included, which books were not to be included. There were also other books there, books that were very good books, and books that had a lot of, you know, good messages, but they were not Ruach HaKodesh. They were human genius, and Chazal said, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah said, okay, we cannot include these books. One of these books, by the way, we're going to discuss it next week at length, is Ben Sira. Ben Sira was a son of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yirmiyahu had a son through artificial insemination, the Gemara says, right? This Abra Bam Batyo, wife, they say it was his wife, got impregnated through the bathtub, and therefore it was like a form of artificial insemination. The child that was born was called Ben Sira. I think Ben Sira, Gematria, is the same as Yirmiyahu. He was a son of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. He wrote a wonderful book, Sefer Ben Sira, all about like Mishlei, all about types of dictums, and to keep the mitzvahs, and to do Torah, and to be a Yireh Shemayim. All these wonderful, he wrote a wonderful book, Sefer Ben Sira. And the Gemara actually quotes it. Abaya says, we'll see the whole next week, but Abaya actually says, you know, oh, Sefer Ben Sira, that it says so and so and so and so. But nevertheless, they did not include it. Why did not include it? Because it wasn't written Beruach HaKodesh. It was in Nevuah. And therefore it was not included with the 24 books of Tanakh. Next week we'll see, not only did they not include it, but they actually ushered it. They forbade anybody reading Ben Sira. If you read Ben Sira's book, they said, Ein Lechelek L'Olam Haba. Homer, Yerushalmi says, you can read. Look at number, they have to get this in, 11b. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Af HaKoyre B'Svarim HaChitzoynim, Koyin Sifrei Ben Sira, Ein Lechelek L'Olam Haba. Aval Sifrei Hamirus, Hamirus is Homer. Bechol Svarim Shenichtavu Mikan Ve'Elech, it's like reading a letter. You want to read a novel, Homer, no problem. You read Ben Sira, that's terrible. Of course, the reason is, we're going to get to that, different reasons, when this Gzeirah was made by Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Others say, and it's more of a stab, was only made in the time of the early Christians, in the time of Rebbe Kiva. But basically, the concept was, Ben Sira looks like Mishlei, has a good book, but if we're going to allow people to read it, then they'll say, where are you going to draw the line? In other words, the line between Sifrei Kodesh and not, between Tanakh and not, will be blurred. And therefore, Ben Sira had to be out completely. Homer, nobody's going to mistake that for one of the 24 books of Tanakh. All right, you shouldn't be reading it, but it's like Kari Geres. Ben Sira, you can't read that because you might mistake it. So therefore, they had to canonize the 24 books of Tanakh. How do we get to 24 books? We have another minute. All right, we'll start from this week, and we'll continue next week. Basically, the 24 books of Tanakh, look at number 10, Tana Rabbanan, Sidron Shanavim. Well, we have the 5 books of Chamisha Chum Shetera, those are 5 books. Then we have Yeshua, Shoeftim, Shmuel, Umlochim, which are another 4. Now, there's no Shmuel Aleph, no Shmuel Beis, no Melachim Aleph, no Melachim Beis. The Christians did that, by the way, by the printing press. They had to make different books, so they made it, and then the Jews opened their own printing press, and they had to have permission of the Pope, and therefore they had to follow the way the Christians separated it. But there was no, so those are the 4 other books, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Yeshaya, Shteyosor, which are all the Nevi'im. We're going to see next week, but basically, not only they made those books, or they canonized, see, these are the books of Tanakh, which have Kedusha to them, and Dvorim Shebichsav, Yata Rashoy Loim Mu'alpeh, you can't say it by heart. These are the 24 books of Tanakh. They also actually put it which order goes with which. Anshei Knesset Gedolah did that. And then there's Ksuvim, Rus, Sefer Tehillim, Iyov, Mishle, Kehelesh, Shir HaShirim, Kinois, which is Echo, the 5 Megillas, Daniel, Esther, Ezra, and Divrei Yomim. Ezra and Nehemiah, by the way, are together, Divrei Yomim, and those are the books of the 24 books of Tanakh. So that was the first thing. The reason why that was so important, like we said, Nevuah ended, and therefore they had to make, okay, until that's it. There's no more Nevuah, there's no more Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore these are the 24 books of Tanakh, these are the holy books. Everything else, it's nice, it's good, it's wonderful, but it's not the 24 books of Tanakh.
Chronological,
Not by the dates. It was a whole. The Gemara says in Megillah that Esther asked, "Kisvuni l'darus, include me as well." And it was a whole question back and forth. And it was, we'll see all this next week. But actually, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah had to write over Sefer Esther because Esther was written in Chutzlartz and therefore didn't have the same level of kedusha. So they had to write it over. Others say it doesn't really make sense because we find Vatichta of Mardechai, so they wrote one version, wrote a second version. But it wasn't chronological. It was based on whatever was written Beruach HaKadosh and Benevuah would be included. Even those that were written Benevuah, they had to differentiate which was applicable to Darius, which was not applicable. But something which was not Nevuah, from this point on, there was no Benevuah, that's for sure they could not include. And that's how they canonized and they made 24 books of Bach. Next week we'll continue with Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, but all the various things that they made, and it'll take a few weeks, but then we'll understand how the Greek era begins with Shimon HaTzadik, etc., etc.